I'd like you to keep your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we have just read just now, as we continue our series of study of this book, 1 Corinthians. We come last week, in fact, we have already did a little study of chapter 13, and where we focus on verse 12. And I thought that it is good that we go back once again to this chapter, and particularly to draw your attention to verse 7. Our subject this afternoon is the difficulties of Christian love. And the text is verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This grace of charity or love, which Paul so highly and admirably spoken of in chapter 13, is absolutely essential to true godliness for every true Christian believers. So essential it is, this grace of love, is that if we Christians, if we desire or seek after every spiritual gift, particularly what Paul mentioned and listed here, if we seek after every other spiritual gift but have not the grace of charity, or not the grace of love, it profits us nothing. It does us nothing good. The absence of charity is absolutely fatal to vital godliness as revealed to us in this chapter. Brethren, when you read the apostles' high extolment of charity, do not think that this virtue, this fanciful virtue, is only for certain special Christians. Only they can attain to such a gift or such a grace, and that it is beyond your reach. And therefore, you need not imitate it. Far from it. This charity is common. It's a common everyday vestment, you can call it, for every people of God in the body of Christ. It is not the prerogative of a few. It must be the possession of all true Christian believers. I once also asked myself, is it possible for a truly born again believer to have or to attain such kind of Christian virtue, and that we can truly exercise such gifts of truly loving someone with the love of Christ? Is it possible? And I often tell myself it is so hard. It is indeed very hard, as you will find out later on as I explain to you from the text. Because there is no denial of it, that even for the Christian to attain this gift of all gifts, this love that comes from God, and this love that is of God, we have to strive for the Christian to attain it. And we can only strive to attain it with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Or else, we cannot enter into eternal life. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, and the Spirit of Christ is sure to kindle the charity that is mentioned in our text, which beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. What does this text, verse 7, teach us at the outset? It teaches us this, that salvation leads to this grace of charity. Or salvation that leads to this grace of charity must be of God and must be wrought in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. In and of ourselves, we will never be able to generate such kind of love for our fellow man. It's impossible. Such a or an irresistible grace of love can never grow out of our fallen nature. Our fallen nature refers to our sinful nature. And we in our sinful nature will never be able in our human strength produce this kind of love. This glorious salvation unto pure love must be grasped by faith and wrought in us by the operation of the Spirit of God. If charity is to be found in any man or any woman or any boy or girl and abound, God must have the glory of it. For assuredly, it was never attained by mere natural effort, but must be a bestowment from God, by God the Holy Spirit, who is the giver of every spiritual gift. So then, brethren, I hope that at the end of my sermon on this subject, I hope to leave upon your mind the impression of your need of the grace of God for the attainment of such kind of love. It is attainable, it is only attainable for the Christian with the help of the Holy Spirit. However, again, I must remind you that the path to the attainment of love requires great effort, and how impossible it will be unless you and I are empowered with a strength beyond our own. But be comforted, brethren, be comforted. I like to encourage all Christians, if you are truly one, do not, as I said earlier, think that this is beyond you. It is only for some other Christians who are holier, given special faith. No, there's no such thing as a Christian given special faith. We are all given the same faith that comes from the Holy Spirit. So be comforted to know that if it cannot be the outcome of your own effort to generate or to produce such divine love in your heart, yet, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Remember this. And, for every Christian, the Holy Spirit is ready and willing to bear fruit in us and to help us to further establish or cultivate a greater portion of that grace of love. Let us begin firstly to consider for our first head the great difficulties of charity. This is my first point. The great difficulties of charity. When the grace of God comes into the heart of a sinner, he is born at once to love. He that loves is born of God. and he that is born of God loves. And this gift of grace of love comes upon a believer immediately. He begins, or she begins, as a believer, first of all, obey the great commandment to love his neighbor as himself or herself when touched by the grace of God. Evidently, the difficulties of love are many. We cannot deny it. We cannot deny it. For the Apostle Paul says here, or speaks of things as he puts it here, all things. And as it were not enough, he repeated the words all things and set forth the opposing forces as four times. He mentioned this, or he used this two words, all things, four times in this text. And so it would seem that all things comprehend as much as can be. But here in the text, you have this amount multiplied by four. So you see the intensity of this great difficulty. The point here is this. Every one of us who are Christian believers, we have to contend with all that is within ourselves. And to contend with our old self. Truly, and you know this point, and you know this doctrine, brethren, that every Christian believer, though we are truly regenerated by the Holy Spirit, yet this old nature still remains in us, even though God has planted a new nature in us through the Holy Spirit. And so we will have to contend with all that is within us, in ourselves. Nothing in our fallen nature will help us. God has put within a Christian believer a new life, but that old life, or the old nature, or you can call it the old principle in us, will seek to fight or to extinguish the new nature or the new life that God has planted in us. Beside that, Christian believers are or will have to contend with all things in the persons, including our enemies. We have to contend with all things with our neighbors and even with our fellow brothers or fellow believers whom we are called to love. And as I said, including our enemies. You and I must have fervent charity commanded of us to exercise and practice for the Christians. But you will find very much about the best of them, the best of our neighbors, the best of our friends, our enemies will try your patience to the very end. For like yourself, they are imperfect and they will not turn their best side towards you. But sometimes, sadly, they will exhibit or express their infirmities, their weakness towards you. Your patience will be tested. So be prepared, therefore, to contend all things with all men, including the Christians. As for the unbelievers whom you desire or love, to reach out to them, to share the gospel to them, to show Christ's love to them, you will find everything in them that will oppose you from winning them over to you with the love of Christ. For they, like yourself, by nature, are born in sin. They, like you, have that fallen nature. And they are rooted in their iniquities, in their sin, or in their sin nature. for the world lies in the wicked one, and all its forces runs towards what? Runs towards self, runs towards contention, and runs towards hate. In fact, every day you see it in your life. The seed of the serpent is at enmity with all that is kind, with all that is tender-hearted, with all that is self-sacrificing, which are the marks of the woman's seed. Therefore, brethren, marvel not, be not surprised if the world hates you, if you are a Christian. And then remember that all things in hell are also against you. The prince of the power of the air leads the way, leads the march. Satan, the evil one, together with the host of all the fallen spirits that you and I cannot see with our eye, they eagerly follow after the evil one, and like bloodhound, they will come after you. They will come after you. And the more you want to win them over and show the love of Christ and exercise this grace of love towards your enemy, towards the unbeliever, the more they will hound after you. All this evil spirit will endeavor to create dissension, create enmity, and create malice and oppression among the Christian. And the soldier of love, the Christian believer, must wrestle with all this. And so now, brethren, and I'm sure there's no surprise to those of the members of this church, you have studied and understood such teachings in the Bible. You see right now the great difficulties of love, but yet, do not be discouraged, brethren. Yes, we fail, we falter. Often our conduct, our Christian conduct, we shame the name of Christ, but yet we shall not stray from the fight. By the help of the Holy Spirit, we can continue to strive to build up, to cultivate this grace of love, and to exercise it despite all the difficulties. Thanks be to God, though love has many difficulties, which we acknowledge, it overcomes them all, and overcomes them all 4 times, as is in our text. How? How does love overcome all this difficulty? We overcome this difficulty, or we overcome this evil, that this forces that against us, by patience. Firstly, by patience, because it says here, beareth all things. Let us learn, brethren, and again it is difficult, let us let injury that are afflicted on us by others, let us learn to forgive and be not provoked. As Jesus answered Peter, how many times must I forgive my brother, my brethren, who comes to me and apologize that he is sorry? Even 70 times 7 we will bear in silence, but we need the help of the Holy Spirit to bear that. If this is not sufficient, by God's grace we will overcome evil by faith. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We rely upon God's principle. We look for divine support. And so we, the second part, believeth or believes all things. Then we can overcome by the third way. We overcome by hope. By hope. We rest in expectation that gentleness, patience will win, and that long suffering will wear out the enemy, will wear out malice, For we look for ultimate victory of everything that is true, everything that is gracious, and so we hope all things. And then we finish the fight, fourthly, by endureth all things, by perseverance. We remain faithful. Yes, we remain faithful, not in our own strength, not in our own doing, again by the help of the Holy Spirit. We remain faithful to our resolve to love. We will not be irritated into unkindness. We will not be perverted from generous or forgiving affection. And so we win the battle by steadfast, non-resistant. Yes, again, we must acknowledge, we must humbly acknowledge that we are weak and we often are perplexed. Yet here we read, love endureth all things. So brethren, do you not see once again the struggles of a true believer in exercising love in all things, which without the help of the Holy Spirit is impossible? Is beyond human effort. It must come, that must come from the power that is beyond the human. And I need not say any more concerning the difficulties of love. I am sure that every one of you, particularly those of you who have been Christian, experienced believers, you know that these difficulties are intense. This struggle, this fight is intense. To love someone that you find very difficult to love, and to love them with the love of Christ, is a great struggle. And that we require grace if we are to master this grace of love. The grace of love does not ask to have an easy life. Only self-love will make that her aim. Love denies herself. Love sacrifices herself that she may win victories for Christ, for God's glory, and bring blessing on her fellow men. I come right now to conclude. As I promise you that this will be a short sermon, I come right now to conclude with the last point. We want to ask, or we want to look at, the sources of charity's energy. Where does this power come from? As I mentioned earlier, and I've been mentioning it many times over, the Spirit of God alone can teach Christians how to love. And empower Christians to love and to give them the energy to do so. The art of how to love with the love of Christ is learned at no other school but at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only a born again believer, only one who is regenerated by the Holy Spirit will be given this gift of love and will be aided by the Holy Spirit to exercise this love. This love that the Bible speaks of, that only the Christian have, is not for the unbeliever. If you want to have this kind of love, to love others with the love of Christ, first you must come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the art of love is not learned at any other school, but at the feet of Jesus, where the Spirit of love does rest on those who learn of Him. Beloved brethren, the Spirit of God puts love into us, into our hearts, and the Spirit of God Himself will help us to maintain this love in our hearts. Albeit not perfect, we must confess that we will never be able to reach the perfection of such love here in this life only after when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ on that final day. But therefore, we need to strive. Firstly, how does the Holy Spirit help us to maintain this love? Firstly, love wins this victory. It is in her nature, the nature or the new nature that is planted in a Christian. The nature of love is self-sacrifice. Love is the reverse of seeking her own. Love is intense. Love is burning. Therefore, she burns her way to victory. Love, to give us a understanding or better understanding, but it is still a very weak illustration. If you want to truly have a clearer or deeper understanding of what true love is, look at the mother. And those of you who are mothers, I think you will understand this better. Is it any hardship for the mother to lose sleep, to lose peace, to lose comfort for her child, for all her children? Ask any mother. They are willing to sacrifice that at all costs. If it costs her pain, she makes it a pleasure by the fervor of her affection. It is the nature of love, true love, to court difficulties and to rejoice in suffering for the beloved object, for the one that she loves. The mother is willing to make that sacrifice, to suffer in order, or she is prepared to suffer in order to love that child or her child. So therefore, if you have fervent love to your fellow man, you will know how true this is. But how much more it is, this love that is mentioned in this chapter, it is the love of God implanted in the heart of a born again or regenerated sinner or repentant sinner. This love of God is far higher than the love of a mother for her child. And so if you have love, this kind of love, you will know how it is. Next, love has four dearest companion. There are with her tenderness that beareth all things. The next companion, faith that believeth all things. Her third companion to love is what? Hope that hopeth all things. And fourthly, patience or perseverance, which endureth all things. And he has this tenderness, faith, hope and patience set as a set of graces to guard love. And therefore, if you have that four companion, you need not fear. You need not fear. Best of all, brethren, for those of you who are united in the Lord Jesus Christ as believer, love draws her life from the wounds of Christ. Love can bear. Love can believe. Love can hope. Love can endure. Why? Because Christ has borne, believed, hoped, and endured for the Christian, for those who are the people of God. Love makes us love. Love bought us. Love sought us. Love brought us to the Savior's feet, and it shall henceforth constrain us to action, which otherwise would be impossible. You see right now why I say just now that this kind of love, the love of God, can only be for the Christian believer because it is implanted by God the Holy Spirit in the heart of a born-again believer. It is not implanted in an unbeliever. An unbeliever, those who do not know Jesus as their Savior, do not have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them, therefore they do not have such love implanted in them. So therefore, let us be willing, brethren, those of you who are in Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, be willing to be distracted from selfishness by the love of Christ. And be willing to be driven into self-oblivion by a supreme passion for the crucified Christ. And so may the love of Christ express to every believer at Calvary's cross pierce your heart, pierce my heart, till it pour forth a life of love, or a life for love, and flow out from within us streams of kind desire, streams of generous deeds, and streams of holy sacrifices for God and for His people and for our fellow men. May the Lord grant it to us as we seek after this. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this short and simple lesson, but yet we must confess indeed that we need more of the infusion of such love, the love of Christ, to increase in our hearts, so that we will be enabled by Thy Holy Spirit to love our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, and even to love our enemies. Heavenly Father, we pray that as Thou hast graciously granted us a new week, a new beginning to walk with You, we pray for Your Holy Spirit to work this in our hearts. For we desire it. We desire to live a life filled with the love of Christ and to exercise this fruit of the Spirit to others, not for our own namesake, but for Thy glory, for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as a witness to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.